Open your Bibles this evening to begin with in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. The next name of God that we're going to look at, we're going to look at two names of God tonight. And that is, the first one is Jehovah. It is the most common name of God used in the Bible. It's used, you know, several thousands of times, really. It is without question the most common name. It comes from, I find this interesting. It comes from a Hebrew translation of what we would consider four consonants, YHWH. Now, when I was in school, they said these are the vowels and sometimes Y. Maybe that's sometimes Y it ought to be that, but it's YHWH. And it's combined with the vowels from the word Adonai. It is the name that God used of himself. We'll read this here in just a moment in Exodus chapter 3, where he said, I am. So, if we were to say in English, it is four consonants and no vowels, technically we could not pronounce it. So I read this. Whether this is true or not, I really didn't take time to check it out, but this is I found interesting. There was a 16th century German translator, and he wrote that name of Jehovah, or what we would say YHWH, and he used the vowels of Adonai. And because the ancient Jewish text from which he was translating had the vowels of Adonai under the consonants of that. And so by doing that, he incorrectly came up with the name Jehovah. Now, I think that may be accurate because it is four consonants and no vowels. In Exodus 3, it says this. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked out, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not now nigh thither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And so that, as you know, is God's call to Moses when God told Moses to bring the children of Israel out. Verse 11, Moses begins to debate this calling of God, and Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He continued that in chapter 4 and verse 1, and Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And so he's still debating, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. So Moses has got all these reasons why, when God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, why he couldn't do it. Of course, God's not going to have any of that. And so finally, we come down to verse 13. Well, let me read verse 11 and 12. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? So he basically asked God, it's a question, and the question that he asked is, God, when they ask me who sent me, and I'm going to tell them who sent me, what's your name? And then God gave that name in verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And he uses the name of God, I am. It is a repetition of the verb to be. It means the one that was, the one that is, and the one that always shall be, the eternal God. That is the name, of course, that we use for Jehovah or Yahweh. He is the self-existent one. And this is the divine name of God. If somebody were to ask me in a conversation, what do you think the name of God is, or what is the name of God? If I thought about it properly, I would say, I am. That is his name. And that's what he told Moses when Moses was to go lead the children of Israel out. So it is the one that was, the one that is, and the one that shall always be the eternal God. It also is the self-existent one. God is independent of everything and everybody. Turn, if you would, please, to John chapter 8. Now, this is the divine name of God, and this is the title that Jesus used of himself in John chapter 8 and verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? And they asked Jesus this question, Whom makest thou thyself? Like, who do you think you are? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your Father. Yet ye have not known him, but I have known him. I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, in verse 58 here now, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus himself went out into the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And so Jesus used the divine name of God, I am. Now, God tells Moses, I am the one who is the self-existent one. This is my name forever. God never changes. His promises never fail. And we are faithless. As Moses was somewhat faithless, God is faithful. And when Jesus, you know, I can never understand how anybody can read those passages of Scripture and not realize that Jesus is God. I don't understand. It seems so clear. It seems so simple. And yet they don't. Go back to John chapter 1 for a moment. Actually, you know what? I'm going to hold off on that passage just for a second. So you can mark it, but we will come back to it. There is another name that goes along with this one, and it is the name Emmanuel. And if you wondered why we read tonight from Matthew chapter 1, it's because I wanted you to see, and I know that's a Christmas passage, okay, but I wanted you to see the name Emmanuel there. So we've looked at Jehovah. God is the self-existent one. God's not dependent upon me. He's not dependent on anybody. He's always been the one that was. He is the one that is, and he shall always be. There's no question about that. This name Emmanuel, though, is another wonderful name. So we're going to come back to John chapter 1. But make your way to Isaiah chapter 7. In verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. If you look in chapter 8, in verse 8, and he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. So we find this name, Emmanuel. We find it again where we read in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 23. Emmanuel is the I am. Emmanuel is God with us. Jesus is God when he was on the earth. Jesus was God in our midst. In him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. You can go back to John 1 and we'll read that in just a moment. Now, this name indicates that Jesus is more than a man. He is also God. But let me say something. Now, let me ask you a question, actually. If a person denies that Jesus is God, can that person be a believer? No. They cannot possibly be a believer. All right? Isaiah said that the child born to the virgin would be called Emmanuel. In other words, he is the radiance of God's glory in the exact representation of his nature, according to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. But look here in John chapter 1. In the beginning, verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 says this, and the Word was made flesh. The Word, up in the previous verses, was God. And now it says, and the Word was made flesh. God was made flesh. That was Jesus. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. And again, how anybody can say that Jesus is not God, I honestly do not know. But I will say this. Most all of the cults that there are, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and many of those cults, they do in fact say Jesus is not God. So what we say is primarily they attack the deity of Jesus Christ. That's their primary attack. The fact that Jesus is God. Now, you're looking in John 1, so just look there again. The New World Translation of the Bible is the translation of the Bible that the Jehovah's Witnesses use. And it says in John 1:1, follow your Bible as I read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. So they add a definite article day. Actually, in Greek, it would be logos ho theos. But they add a definite article, ho, which if you want to go look at my Greek lexicon, you can. There is no reason to add ho theos to. There is just no reason for that whatsoever. In fact, there was some Greek scholars, and I'm not one. It's the University of Southern California who looked at, they weren't Christians or Trinitarians either, I might add. But they looked at the text, the Greek text, and they looked at the New World Translation and they concluded there is absolutely no reason whatsoever to translate this like that. So that is an error. But if you watch what it does, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was a God, and they make Jesus a lesser God than God. Now that's a problem. That's like a major, major, major problem. Which is interesting because that same cult uses a verse in Isaiah 43 where God says, I am God and I'm the only God and I'll never make another God. That's the Carpenter paraphrase. How, I don't understand how they can use this verse and then make the change that they made here. By the way, that's not the only verse of scripture they add words to. They add words to Colossians 1 because they have to. Because Colossians 1 makes Jesus the creator. So in the way they change that is they add a word and they make Jesus created. And then from that, they make him create all other things. But he himself, in their translation of Colossians 1, is a created being. So the New World, I mean, I don't have to say this, but the New World translation is a really bad translation because it absolutely mutilates the deity of Christ. I mean, it just mutilates it. In fact, about all the cults do that. Now, when we think of Jehovah God, Emmanuel, he never changes. His promises never fail. Go back to Exodus chapter 3 just for a moment if you're not there. If I could read verse 15. God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, the name I am, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So he named Jehovah is his name forever. But when you read where it says the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, what did God do with those three individuals? What's that, Mark? Okay, you're right. Let me rephrase. I'm trying to think of a better way to... What did God make with those three guys? Ah, God made a covenant. And you know what Jehovah God is? Jehovah God is a covenant-keeping God. He is faithful. When I'm not faithful, he remains faithful. Moses was not as faithful as he should have been. In fact, when God said, hey, Moses, this is what I want you to do, Moses should have said, okay, Lord, let's do it. That's not what he said. I'm a slow speaker. Who am I? I can't do this. And he had all these three or four reasons why he couldn't do this. But Jehovah is associated with a covenant-keeping God. He is independent. He is self-existent. Now the name, and I'm not going to go through all of these tonight, but the name Jehovah is connected with many other names as well. There is the name Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Mechadism, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Ro, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shema, and Jehovah Tiskanu. And it's like, okay, that's a lot of those names that are associated with Jehovah that all reveal God's character and attributes, and it lets us know who God is and what God is like. So in all of those things, we can worship him. Now, some of God's attributes are communicable, and some of God's attributes are non-communicable, or some of the attributes that God has, I can have, and some of the attributes that God has, I can't have. I can't be sovereign. God is love. Well, I can be loving. Not all the time, but I can be loving sometimes. God is merciful. And I can be merciful. God is sovereign. He's my total authority. He's Adonai. I'm not. God is all-powerful. He is Elohim. But I'm not all-powerful. God is a creator. But I can't create anything. God is all-knowing. I just think I'm all-knowing, but I'm not really all-knowing. So we have an amazing God, Jehovah, who is distinct from all other gods. He is self-existent. I'm not self-existent. I am 100% created by and dependent upon him. And he created me, and I'll tell you what, I need him. And I need to obey him. But he doesn't need me. As a matter of fact, when you read, I forget the exact things in 1 Corinthians, it talks about as though he had any needs. God really doesn't have any needs. God chooses to use us, but he doesn't, it's humbling, but God doesn't really need us. We need him not the other way around. He is all-powerful. He's El. But I'm not all-powerful. So all these names that are associated with God, and we'll look at the Jehovah names next, it reveals to us how truly awesome our God really is. I think it's a wonderful study, and I think you ought to spend a little time doing it your own as well. Father, help us to see you as you really are. Help us to realize what a mighty God we serve, what an awesome God we have, and we have the privilege to be your child. So we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.